Hi everyone and welcome to the broadcast. Today I am going to be continuing the series on the Jewish roots of the faith, and we are going to be looking at, we're going to be continuing our journey into the tabernacle and looking at the Holy of Holies. Now we've gone over in other posts, we've gone over the outer court, which is where we deal with sin in our lives and we achieve salvation. Then we have the inner court where we get into prayer, we get into the word, and we're fed. We fellowship with other believers, we go to church, we study the word, we share the word, and we pray and we intercede for others. This all happens inside the inner court. So hopefully when you achieve salvation, you move into prayer and studying the word and going to church and being fed. Sometimes people don't ever progress past the outer court. But the idea is to move from the outer court to the inner court and then into the Holy of Holies, or getting directly into God's presence. You cannot get into the presence of God from the outer court. In other words, you can't get into the presence of God by achieving salvation, but then never praying, never reading the word. You can't know God without getting into his word any more than you can be in relationship with another individual without ever getting to know them. You can't expect to have a relationship with somebody that you don't speak to, that you don't find out information about, that you don't learn about. And God is no different. We need to make that progression from the outer court into the holy place so that we can learn about God. We can learn what God expects from us. We can learn what God provides to us. And we can share his word with other people. If you want more detailed information about the outer court and the holy place, there are posts about that on the blog as well. But for today, we're going to be talking about the Holy of Holies. We are going to be assuming that after salvation, you have progressed into the inner court and are now ready to get into the Holy of Holies. So the Holy of Holies is separated from the inner court or the holy place by a thick woven veil. Now, when you picture this veil, it's very, very thick. It's one piece. So if you think of like a theater and you think of a stage and the curtain that's on the stage and you see people kind of part the curtain in the middle and walk in and out, that is not what this was like. This was one piece of heavy, heavy fabric. So the only person who could go into the Holy of Holies was the high priest, and he could only do it once a year on Yom Kippur or the Day of Atonement. And the only way for him to enter into the Holy of Holies was to go around to the side and enter in that way. So there was this heavy veil that was a glaring barrier between God and man. Sin formed this barrier between us and God, and there was no way for us to get directly into his presence, at least before Jesus. The Bible tells us in Matthew 27:51 that upon the death of Jesus, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. What happened on Jesus' death was man was given direct access into the very presence of God. Hebrews 9:11 tells us, "But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation." You see, before Jesus' death, only the high priest could enter into God's presence. But when Jesus died, he became, Hebrews 9:11 tells us, he became the high priest for us, giving us direct access to God. We now no longer have need of a mediator. Christ became the mediator for us. We no longer have a need for the blood of bulls and goats. Jesus' blood paid the price for us. His blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat for our sins. So inside the Holy of Holies, there was only one furnishing, and that was the Ark of the Covenant. On top of the Ark of the Covenant was a lid, and this was known as the mercy seat. And on the mercy seat, now the mercy seat, if you recall from the other posts, there was a lot of furnishing in the inner court and the outer court, and a lot of it was wood, and it was overlaid with gold. The mercy seat was made of solid gold, and gold in the Bible represented the glory of God. This mercy seat is where God's throne was. This is where God himself sat and dwelled. This was where the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night were directly over. This was where God's presence was. On top of the mercy seat were two cherubim, and their wings were outstretched toward each other and were barely touching at the tip. And this is where the high priest would sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice on Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, and he would atone for the sins of the people of Israel. So this is where judgment was transformed with the sacrifice to grace and mercy, but it had to be done every single year. Now the mercy seat sat on top of the Ark of the Covenant, and the Ark of the Covenant was where God spoke to the high priest on Yom Kippur. Now inside the Ark of the Covenant were the stone tablets that contained the Ten Commandments. This was representative of obedience and protection. If you obey the law of God, you receive the protection of God. It contained the gold pot of manna. This was the bread that God provided the children of Israel in the wilderness. So this is representative of provision. And then there was Aaron's rod that budded. If you look at a tree that buds in the spring, it represents new life. So Aaron's rod that budded represented resurrection, new life. We look at trees in the fall, the leaves die, they fall off. In the spring, they bud. It's resurrection, basically. That tree comes to new life. The tree doesn't die. There's not a new tree in its place, but its life is resurrected in budding. So it represents resurrection. Then we have the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And this represents God's direction. This is how God led the people through the wilderness. They followed the cloud, and God showed them where to go. So this represents direction. And these are all things that we obtain when we get into God's presence. These are all the things that come with being in God's presence. We receive through our obedience, we receive protection. We receive provision. We obviously receive new life, and we receive God's direction. When we dwell in his word, when we pray, God gives us direction. He gives us provision, and he gives us new life. Through prayer and through the word, we are transformed. So the Holy of Holies is a wonderful picture of how God transforms us. But you cannot get into the presence of God without going through the outer court and the holy place. You can't get to the presence of God without salvation. That has to occur in the outer court. But you can't stay there. You can't just stay in the outer court. The same way the priest could not get into the Holy of Holies directly from the outer court, he had to go through the holy place. You cannot get into God's presence from the outer court. You have to go into the holy place. You have to pray. You have to read the word. We're supposed to share the word. There's the table of showbread, which represents communion and being fed. So it's not just the Lord's Supper communion, that's part of it, but it's also fellowship and going to church and learning. It's all about learning. The holy place is a place of learning. As I said earlier, you can't enter into relationship with somebody unless you learn about them. And this is the place where we get to know who God is. We're striving for relationship. We're striving for living in his presence, but we can't get there until we know who he is. We can't get there until we know what he expects of us. And this happens in the holy place. James 1 verse 22 and 23 say, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror." Verse 24, "For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." If you hear the word, but you don't do it, you don't study it, you don't make it a part of who you are, it's like looking in a mirror 1 minute and then walking away and forgetting what you look like. Hearing the word, it's like the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 to 8 say, "Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. This represents, except for the last one that was planted in good ground, this represents living in the outer court. This is where you might hear the word, but you don't make it a part of who you are. And the first time trouble comes up, the first time you experience trials, the first time the enemy attacks you, you're going to backslide because you don't have a firm root in the word. When you are a hearer and a doer of the word, when that word is planted in good soil, you will yield a crop. The sun won't come and scorch it. The thorns won't choke it out. Meaning the things that happen in your life, the trials, the tribulations, the problems, it won't shake you. You're going to be like that house that's built on solid rock. Nothing is going to come and shake you because you are firmly rooted in the word. But you don't get that from the outer court. I can promise you, you will not get that from the outer court. And I know that many times people get saved, and I say this because I experienced this myself early on. There are many times people get saved, and they pick up their Bible on Sunday morning, they go to church, and then they come back and they put that Bible back up. They believe that church is where they're going to get fed. They believe, and they will, but they believe that's the only place they're going to receive the word of God, that they don't have to read it for themselves. God speaks to you in his word, and he does it individually. The word God gives your pastor, the word God gives your spouse, the word God gives your neighbor is not going to be the same as what he speaks to you, because he's speaking into your situation alone. You will learn about the application of the word in church. You will learn more about God's character in church. You will learn certain spiritual principles in church. But what God has to speak to you directly into your life is only going to come from you getting into the word and you getting into prayer. And that is when you enter into the presence of God. That is when you walk through that veil that's been torn in two for you, and you stand in front of the mercy seat, and God will speak to you directly. But you cannot get there without knowing who he is. The same way you can't get into relationship with another person without knowing anything about them, without speaking to them, without having them speak to you, you cannot get into the presence of God without knowing him. And that requires spending time in the holy place, spending time in prayer, spending time in the word, and spending time in fellowship and being fed. As I've said before in other posts, we all have a natural progression from one part of the tabernacle to another. I could be in the Holy of Holies 1 minute, and then something happens during my day, and maybe I sin, or maybe I get offended by something, and I need to go back out to the outer court and deal with that, and then spend time in prayer and the word in the holy place, and then I can come back into the Holy of Holies. There is always going to be this natural ebb and flow through the tabernacle, through your walk with God. You're going to have moments where you're in his presence, and then you're going to have moments where you just feel like you just need to go back to the fundamentals of your faith. And that is fine, as long as you're not dwelling in the outer court, as long as you're not dwelling on one section of the inner court, as long as there's a progression toward the holy place. The priests didn't stay out in the outer court. The high priest progressed. He moved into the inner court and ministered. And then on the Day of Atonement, he came into God's presence. We don't have to wait for the Day of Atonement. We can come into his presence anytime we like. That veil is ripped in two. He's standing in front of us. But we cannot know him We cannot come into his presence in relationship. We are in relationship. We're not in religion. This is not about religion. This is about a relationship between God and man. I don't believe in religion. Religion is a bunch of man-made rules and regulations that I have to follow to be right with God. No, I have relationship. I get into God's word. He tells me what he wants me to know. Yes, I go to church. I have a pastor. He leads me. But at the end of the day, what God desires is not for me to have a relationship with him through my pastor. What God desires is for me to know him personally so that he can speak to me personally. So I hope you enjoyed this series on the tabernacle. If you have any questions, please feel free to comment below and I'd be happy to answer them. And if I don't have the answer, and there's a good chance I won't, I will see if I can find the answer for you. If you want to be notified of further teachings on the Jewish roots of the faith, go ahead and subscribe over on the right-hand side of the page. This is just the blog subscription. It's not my mailing list. So you will only get emails when there's a new blog post out. So I thank you for listening, and I'll talk with you soon.